Good evening, this is Pastor Brian Naidoo. I trust and pray that you've had a great day thus far, and the blessings of God that are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness, is your portion and strength. Well, this is the second part of this message, the miracle of reconciliation, and we want to deal with the miracle of the resurrection as a part two. The title is When God Did Our Laundry, He Washed Our Sins Away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 21, you can read it, but I want to focus on two verses tonight, verse 15 and 16. And He died for all, and those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. And we know the verse, monumental verse, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Just to backtrack a little bit, the definition of a Christian cannot be described any better than the way the Apostle Paul describes it. For in our text, 2 Corinthians 5 says, any man in Christ, new creation, all things have passed away. All things, pardon from previous penalties, simply because of the present sacrifice in Jesus Christ. Christ died for the sin of the world. He is our Redeemer. He is our God. He is our King. We come to the fountain that is filled with blood. We draw from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, and they lose all the guilty stain. We need to come to that fountain. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, He died in our place. He paid the price to set us free from the slavery of sin. The miracle of reconciliation is when bad became good because of God and His wonder-working power. It's a demonstration of the power proving that dirty, rotten scoundrels can become dedicated, righteous saints. Victims, never villains. Deprived, never depraved. So let me say to you, this wrath of God that was revealed, and God was able to set us free from the penalty of sin. The miracle of redemption in verse 11 to 14, this reclaim. And now I want to deal secondly, and we're going to probably have a third sermon, but the miracle of the resurrection, verse 15 and 16, and the next time, the miracle of reconciliation, verse 17 to 21, as we do an audit and accounting and accountability of where we are in our lives and what God would have us do with our lives. And so let's turn to the message of the miracle of the resurrection. This changed the way we look at other people. He died so that we might live. The Musketeers have a slogan, one for all for one. I guess it is the same with Jesus, who died in our place. In fact, in the place of all mankind, making Him one for all. And even if there's going to be one for who He would have needed to die, He would have went all the way, even if it was just for one. You know, there's a word, mainstay. Number one, Jesus is number one. He is our mainstay. And this God orchestrated totally without the assistance of man at all. There was no man involved. In the miraculous virgin birth of our Lord, God used the virgin to conceive the Spirit of God, making Him to be human. But because He did not use the seed of the man, proved He was nothing but divinity. God incarnate deity. Without the resurrection, Paul proves in 1 Corinthians 15:3 that the Christian faith would have been totally different, mythical, ineffective. Its preaching would have been valueless. Verse 14, Christian testimony, false. Verse 15, no sins would have been forgiven. Verse 17, the believers would have perished without any Christian hope. Verse 18, one can therefore conclude that apart from this event, Christians would have been most miserable people of all. Verse 19, it is therefore clear that without the resurrection, Christianity would have been a philosophy without sufficient proof of redemptive power. So then, if Jesus was not raised, believers would have not had the hope of the resurrection themselves. And we would have turned to self-gratifying philosophies in this life. The miracle of the resurrection, therefore, separates Christianity from all other religions and philosophies. For us, This begins by dying to self and being risen and made to walk in the newness of life. If we have truly understood the fiery terror of the Lord and have been convicted of our sin, we need to confess it. And in asking the Lord to come into our lives, we participate in the redemption by God through God. You have been saved. That's a monumental statement. That's a fact. You've been saved. All of salvation stems from the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave his life. No one took his life. He gave his life as a ransom sacrifice. He, Christ the Lord, met every demand of the law. Well, need a refresher? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Admission opens door to this remission. If you admit you are a sinner, and nothing but his saving grace, nothing but salvation in him, this redemptive power is available. I guess that we can never exhaust this fact that he who knew no sin became sin for us. His life and being so that through him we might become the righteousness of God himself. He redeemed us from the curse and became cursed on our behalf. We now have a point of departure, as this verse sets the foundation from verse 15. We know no man after the flesh. Sorry, verse 17. We know no man after the flesh. If only the church can get hold of this today, what does it mean? The old things that marked our friendships and dislikes in our unconverted days put barriers upon love, made forgiven territories of certain areas, the extinction of color, distinction of race and nationality. We are a new creation. There's no race, and Christianity is a religion that helps, or a lifestyle that helps us understand there is no barriers. We are brothers in Christ, irrespective of what continent, which country we come from, what our cuisines are, what our cultures are. In Christ, we are a new creation. And Paul says that we used to know Jesus that way, but not anymore. Now we know him in terms of a greater and far richer spiritual union and oneness. Jesus walked on this earth more than 2,000 years ago in the flesh. And let me say to you, he was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, walked in Galilee, began his ministry in Canaan in Galilee, went to Jerusalem, died on a cross there. They buried him outside the city. He arose on the third day, appeared to his own, ascended back into heaven. Let me say, you see, we know him not as the man from Galilee anymore. He is the God of glory, seated at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding on our behalf. Let's understand this whole ministry. Let's understand this whole doctrine. Let's understand exactly what we're talking about. This ministry that God gave us, this salvation that we have, the miracle of redemption, the miracle of the resurrection. Mark 10:45, for the Son of Man also came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and gave his life as a ransom for many. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What a joy to know. He died one for all and all for one. We should die to the flesh. If we live by the premise that Paul projected, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The miracle of the resurrection makes us see Christ not just as the Redeemer, but also as the Reconciler. We can look forward to that day when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation to take us home, and joy shall fill our hearts. You know that hymn, that great hymn? And then we shall bow in humble adoration and thus proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Christ, the resurrected Redeemer, who rescued us and freed us from our sin and shame, as Revelation 1:7 says, every eye shall see him, a long time ago. I preached satellite savior, but now we've reached that era where it becomes Google God. There's going to be a meeting in the air. The Bible declares in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18, the miracle of the resurrection includes those who have died in Christ. The dead will rise first. Believe it. The clouds are going to burst open. The grave is going to give up its dead. And we can ask, and we can with Paul ask, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks, in fact, blessed thanks be to God who causes us, and guess what? To triumph and have the victory. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, yes, I said it already, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul got it right up front. Death in this world is not a full stop for the Christian. I wrote a saying 2 days ago. If you believe in heaven, death is not punishment, but death is promotion. Let me say it again. If you believe in heaven, death is not punishment. Irrespective of who died, death is promotion. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. What better place to be than to be with God and the Lord and Savior? And so life in Christ is the barrier that breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free, both from the grave and from the gallows. He sets us free. We need not be intimidated by anything else. So because of the miracle of the resurrection, we can sing with the hymn writer, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures or follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Another hymn, O happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And one that I come to love is some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Then we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Done with this humiliating flesh, this vehicle of sin. The change must be given now in our mortal bodies as we anticipate the reaping of eternal life. This is our only hope and deposit, that the dead will be delivered on that day from the grave. And as the Apostle Paul asserted in 1 Corinthians, the resurrection is the center of the Christian faith and theology. This is our guarantee. This is our goal, and this will be revealed by God himself in his domain called glory. One day we'll gather at the throne. And as we conclude, until then, we can look up for our redemption, draw it nigh, and be sure that the resurrection will take place. He lives, and because he lives, we shall also live. Even though we shall die, we shall live forevermore. Come, let us pray together. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of life. I pray for every single person on this radio station that's listening now through the airwaves. I pray that they will catch a glimpse of who you are and what you've done, and they will live a life that is pleasing to you and you alone, that they will understand, and the next time we share a message will be the third part, the miracle of the reconciliation, and we'll get a gist of this regeneration that stems right from here, how you bought us with a price, how God became flesh and decided to dwell amongst men. We thank you. We pray that you'll touch those that are sick in hospital homes, heal them, bless them. We pray for the radio station, it'll continue to be a witness for you. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, this is Pastor Brian Nadu. You can reach me on WhatsApp, +27 83 784 8162. If there's anything I can do to help you, pray with you, please do call, and may the blessings of God be your portion and strength. Every blessing. Have a good night. Bye-bye.